This morning, if you brought a copy of God's Word, if you'll take and turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter number 13. And now and first and foremost, let me say something. Let me share with everyone here this morning that this message is going to be totally different than what I usually do. And that's okay. Amen?
Amen.
Because listen, I'm going to be obedient to the Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Amen. The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And usually on Sunday mornings, everybody has an insert. We get used to things, you know. We get used to PowerPoint sheets and PowerPoints. We're not going to do any of that this morning, okay? We got one theme that we want to look at today, and it's simply this: wake up. And I'm under the direction of the Holy Ghost. That's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm only going to take orders today from Almighty God. And if God be for me, who can be against me?
That's right.
So I've just asked the Lord to hide me behind the cross today. And first, again, you know, we're just going to let God guide. You know, we need to simply, you and I, we the people of God, we need to wake up.
Right.
And please be finding, if you haven't already, Matthew chapter 13. And this message today is what we as a church ought to be doing in this community and what we've been commanded to do. And by the way, I want you to know today that this message that I'm going to give today, that I'm going to present, is on behalf of anybody that is concerned about the lost.
Right.
And don't misunderstand me. I'm concerned about people all over the world. I am. I really am.
Amen.
But I'm concerned about people in America. I'm also concerned about people right where God has placed me to serve in the Parkway community. Now, I know that I'm your pastor, but today I want you to know this. I represent the lost people in this message.
Blessings.
As we kick off a new year, tonight we're going to have our annual State of the Church, and a new year in a couple of weeks here. I'm going to be preaching about people today. I'm preaching to you about people, and I want you to know something today. If something doesn't drastically and radically change in their life, as only Jesus can do it, I can't do it. All I can be is a vessel.
Amen.
Jesus saves. Jesus can change people's lives. If something doesn't happen, guess what? They are going to die, and they're going to miss heaven, and they're going to go to a land, a place called hell. And when they get to hell, guess what? They're never going to be able to get out. Now, the reason I'm preaching the message today, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me complete and full boldness today.
Amen.
I'm talking about little blue-eyed, blonde-haired granddaughters. I'm talking about gray-headed grandmothers and grandfathers. Right. I'm talking today about uncles that you haven't seen, or perhaps aunts you haven't seen in a while. First, second, and third cousins. Today I'm talking about people that you've hunted with. I'm talking about today people that you have fished with. I'm talking today about people on the road, on the street where you live today that you've never taken any time or never had the time because you didn't want to take the time to talk to them about God. Those are the people that I'm talking about today. I'm talking to you this morning. I'm trying to represent maybe some of the people that maybe you live with in your own house. Who maybe you don't, who don't know the Lord. There's so many different people out there. This morning, I intend, in this message today, I intend on representing the lost people that are in this community. I'm representing those people that are watching that are lost today. Now, this morning, I'm not asking any of you to go around the world. I'm not asking you to go even around the state of Tennessee. I'm speaking to you this morning about going around the block and just a few miles maybe just a few feet for some of you to lost people that are coming that God is sending through your lives. That's what I'm asking for this morning. Now, the thing that amazes me is how much of us have, you and I, how we have such an impact on people's lives, but yet it's not the impact for the gospel. And what it should be, it could be. It's always the impact on, you know, well, here's the latest fab. Here's the latest thing going on today. I mean, we have an impact on people from a worldly perspective. And we need to have an impact about the gospel. So I want to encourage everybody that is here this morning. Now, let me say this. obviously, we don't have 1,000 people plus at Parkway. But if those of us who are here would take and go outside of the rim of this building that we're sitting comfortably in today, there would be 1,000 people with everybody that we have that's a part of this church. At least 1,000 people would be impacted. Amen?
Right.
And that's the truth. We've got enough people right here at Parkway to change the community in which we live.
Amen. Amen.
And we have enough churches, including this church here, on almost every block in Bradley County. We have enough churches that if they did what they were supposed to do, and I'm talking about even here, it would change this whole area. By the way, it would change this whole country, I believe.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I mean, think about how many Jesus had, and think about how many, about us, how many we have. I mean, Jesus had 12 disciples. Think about how many that are sitting here. Guess how many people we started with? 12 people when I came here is the number of people that were here the first Sunday. Think about how many we've got now. We ought to be making a larger impact than what we've been making. And God is able. All we have to do is be a vessel for Him.
Amen.
He is able. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Matthew chapter 13, and verse 24. By the way, you probably know this passage well. But we're going to come at it in a different way this morning. Another parable, Matthew chapter 13. Look with me if you will. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field.
Right.
But while men slept, underscore that, men slept. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit and appeared to the tares also, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? And whence then hath he it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. And then notice in verse 30, here is what you do. Let both grow together into the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I, he says, notice that.
Amen.
I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is the word of the Lord. Praise
Amen.
Be to God. Amen.
God. Amen.
Now, friends, this is a very powerful message today, Amen. A passage of Scripture. This is what we can refer to as the wheat and tares story.
Amen.
And by the way, I'm going to say something and make absolutely no apology to anybody before I say it. I'm not going to about it. If something doesn't happen with our churches, everything is going to be gone pretty soon. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, something has got to happen, even right here at Parkway. There is no exception moving forward. Something has got to happen.
Amen.
Now, whatever it is, whatever this funk, whatever this stupor that we're in, whatever it is that has come over us and in over these churches has caused us to be inward and to be satisfied with just staying here while our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, all these people that we know in our lives are dying and they're going to hell. Here we are. We are just sitting there watching them. Friends, something has got to happen.
Amen.
Now, let me remind you, without getting too far off the subject this morning, that this is not some Democrat or Republican issue that we're talking about. By the way, if you're depending on a political party to save our bacon, let me tell you, it's not going to happen. We're the ones, I'm talking about you and I, we're the ones that ought to make a difference. We've depended on that group too much. Amen?
Amen?
Folks, I'm telling you as wisely and as sincerely as I know how to, we as a church, we as a people of God, must wake up!
Amen.
Now, we've got to do that before it's too late. Now, in this story, he says, Jesus says that the reason we, our churches, have got a problem is the enemy.
Amen.
And the reason we and so many churches are having a problem is the enemy is because we have went to sleep.
Amen.
I mean, we are sleeping at this point. I know God has shown me through the working of the Holy Spirit, even at Parkway, we're asleep.
Right.
And we are asleep, and that is simply the problem. Back in 2011, I shared a message from this passage of Scripture. It was a different message, a little bit different background. And I said then that we all have to accept the responsibility of the fact that if we and a lot of churches are not asleep, then we're nodding off.
Right.
That's what I said back then. We're not nodding off today. We're already asleep. Let me tell you, we are sleeping. We are snoozing. I mean, I can hear the snoring on Sunday sometimes. And, you know, we're not nodding off. We are asleep. Listen, folks, we have lost our focus. Now, let's just get to the bottom line of this. I mean, God laid on my heart at the beginning of the year to do an invisible barrier series. I went through all these invisible barriers. It was something He prepared on my heart 3 years ago. Just recently, over the summertime, I talked about getting back into focus, back into the zone, bringing life back into focus. The Holy Spirit of God was on me about that. Now today, the Holy Spirit of God has guided me today to say it is time that we wake up.
Amen.
I mean, there is a day that we understood and that we were under order by God, and that we had a mandate from God to witness to everything that moved and shared the gospel.
Right.
And some of you don't remember, perhaps, maybe some of you don't remember the day that you first got saved. Remember when you went and you told everybody you knew that you got saved?
Blessing.
How many remember that?
Amen.
I remember it like it was yesterday. How excited I was to go and share what God had done in my heart. Some of you may not remember that. You weren't afraid at that time. You weren't embarrassed at all. You wanted to go out and you wanted to tell it just like it was Christmas.
Right.
I got saved.
Amen.
I mean, you had a life-changing experience in your life, but now so often nobody gets told. I mean, people say, well, I went to the altar today. And don't tell nobody. They don't get excited about it. The truth of the matter is that today there are a lot of preachers. They need to hear the message that God's laid on my heart today. Something has happened to the call on their lives.
Amen.
Now, in one of the largest seminaries that there is in America, they did a poll on preachers that were in school preparing for the ministry. 86% of those people who were polled said that they did not have any certain call on their life to be in an area of ministry. They were looking at this as a possible career future, but they weren't sure that they would stay into the ministry. Friend, let me tell you something today. There was a day, I'm telling you today, when God called people to go to work for Him. I mean, there was a day when God called preachers, and you could put your finger down and you could say that was the day and that was the night and that was the place, and that nobody can take that away from me. I mean, God Almighty, He called me into this ministry that I'm in. I've been serving in the ministry for 17 years because God called me. He set me loose to preach the gospel.
That's right.
Now, somebody should say amen about right there.
That's right.
The call of God on my life. I mean, the call of God on people's lives. I heard a pastor one time, Brother Bobby Welch. He was at a conference that I was at one time, and he said he was headed to the restroom and running into a pastor of one of our Tennessee Baptist churches. And that preacher looked at Brother Bobby and said, how did we lose it? How is it that we lost all of this? How did we get away from it so easily, he asked. The preacher said he remembered when he was called into the ministry and how God had set him loose. He said he remembered his first church and that he had preached with fire for the lost people.
Amen.
Pastor went on to say his deacon came to him. He said, I'll go with you. He said he picked up and they drove down the street. They knocked on every single door they came to. The pastor said that the deacon couldn't keep up with him. He never got back in the car. He ran from house to house to house. He said he would knock on the door, leave a flyer, talk a few minutes, and then go somewhere else. That's what we do. Isn't that right, Brother Johnny?
Right.
We go knock on a door, talk to a few people, and go somewhere else.
Amen.
And Bobby said that preacher started crying with tears running down his face. He said, "Brother Bobby, how did I lose that?" I mean, Bobby Welch told that pastor, he said, "It happens to everybody." I'm going to tell you this, in 17 years that I've been serving, there's been times that I went through a dry spell. As a matter of fact, last year, the church may not have known this, but in my own life, I went through a very dry valley. We all do.
Yes, we do.
And Bobby encouraged this pastor by saying that you can get it back right now by committing yourself, and you can do that starting today.
Amen.
Friend, I want you to know today you can have the passion for lost people. It can start right here, right now, today at this church, right here where God has you.
Amen.
Amen.
Back to the passage here in Matthew. These people went to sleep under the orders to go out to work in the field. They were sleeping. Just like we're under orders. Preachers are called like people are called. Every song that we've sung today at this church this morning has pointed us straight to that call. Amen?
Yes, amen.
I mean, if you're a Christian, you have the obligation to your sons, to your daughters, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles and neighbors, and the rest of them. No matter who it is, you have that obligation.
Yes.
I use this same illustration in this same church that I'm about to use in a different sermon one time. I heard a story told of a king who had ruled his people in this area. They had this huge fortified city. Some of them people in that city wanted to overthrow the king, so they tried to do it, but guess what? It didn't work. So they didn't overthrow the king, and they panicked, and the people began to be in disagreement to overthrow the king, so they panicked. Guess what they did? They ran out of the city, the story says. They said that you could see campfires every now and then out there at nighttime. So the king sent messengers out to these people to deliver a message. And these messengers, they told the people, the king says he understands, he wants you to come back, and he's not going to hold anything against you. But guess what? Nobody would come back. You know why? They were afraid it was a trick, Sister Bobby. They were afraid that they couldn't trust this king who was asking the people to come back. So the king did several things to try to convince them to come back, and guess what? They wouldn't come back. So the king did an interesting thing. The story is told that the king came to the big door over the city entrance. It was an arched door, and he had placed a candlestick up above that arched door. Now, that king took out his big lighter. And he lit that candle. That's right, Sister Bobby. He lit that Yankee candle. After the king lit that candle, he sent runners back out to let the people know that they had been forgiven and could come back into the city. But here's what he said. He said, if you don't come back by the time the candle burns down, the door to the city will close and you will be out forever. There'll be no more entering once the candle goes out. Now, I share that story because I want you to think about how much God has given us to work with in these days.
Amen.
I mean, there comes a time when none of us will be able to work anymore. Did you know that?
Yes.
Listen to the pastor for a minute. There's going to come a time in your life when you're not going to be able to do what you're doing right
Amen.
Now. There's going to come a time when I'm not going to be able to be moving boxes for 8 hours a day for 40, 50, 60 hours a week and have all this energy that God's got me on right now. Listen, it's coming. So friend, right now, listen, we have time.
Yes.
I mean, you say, well, Pastor, listen, I can't do much. But yes, you can do something. Everybody that's listening to this can do something.
Amen.
I mean, you say, well, I don't know what I can do. But you know what? You can do something. I mean, because we are people who must wake up to the fact that we have responsibilities.
That's right.
I mean, we have direct orders. We call it the Great Commission. It's not called an everyday commission. It's not called a puny commission. It's not called a little commission. It is called the Great Commission.
Amen.
Do you know why it's great? It's great because it's what God does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great because of the God that we serve and His awesomeness. Mm-hmm. We serve a magnificent, awesome God. Amen?
Yes, we do.
It's great because of the challenge that's been given before us. It's great because of what God does when He saves a man or a woman just like
yes.
him.
Mm-hmm.
A little boy, a little girl.
Yeah.
It's great because God has charged us to do it. That's why it's great. Listen, when you got saved, that is great that you got saved. But friend, I want you to know something. You also took an oath there when you got saved.
Correct.
Listen to the preacher, because a lot of people haven't been listening. That is when you got saved, guess what? You were saved to serve the Lord and love the Lord with all your heart. When you got saved, you got marching orders, I'm telling you, from God's army and what we call the Great Commission. And that is to go out into all the world. Matthew chapter 28 tells us, and to share the gospel. I must say, in the past, before we all fell asleep, that Parkway was doing that.
Amen.
And we were doing a lot of it, by the way. But I'm going to be honest, we've grown complacent.
Bless you, Lord.
Yeah, we have. Well, we have the orders, but there are obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in this passage. Nobody's saying that all this is going to happen without troubles. There's going to be trouble. Now, nobody is saying this is going to happen without aggravation. There's going to be aggravation. Here in the passage, notice what it says, the enemy. Did you get that? I mean, notice in the passage there's a twist that many times when we read, we overlook in God's Word. I mean, watch it there. It says in verse 28, the enemy has done this. The reason we're asleep and the reason that we're where we're at is the enemy is settled in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who is the enemy? Let me tell you who the enemy is. My Bible tells me the enemy, it's spelled out later in this chapter where Jesus translates it, but the enemy is the devil. Now, if you don't believe in a personal devil today like 50% of the people do, let me tell you, there's a personal devil.
Sure there is.
And if you don't believe in a devil, then you need to get your heart checked out, because you don't know God.
Amen.
The devil is what brought all this sin into this world.
Amen.
And the enemy's the devil. The enemy is Satan himself.
Yes.
That is who the enemy is.
Amen.
The adversary. What does the devil do? He uses the best trick. I want you to know something about the devil. He uses the best trick anybody ever come up, and that is to divide and conquer.
Amen.
That's exactly what the devil does.
Amen.
I mean, if you want the church to be torn up, divide it, and they'll be aggravated with each other over a fight. And guess what? Anytime that happens, the devil wins.
Sure he does.
It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, don't miss this. The enemy here is the devil, but the obstacle to what the Lord of the harvest wants is not the devil. Listen, not the devil, the people. The servants are the obstacle.
Right.
Yeah, there's a real devil. But we can be the obstacle when we're not sold.
Right.
The devil uses people. He gets into the lives of people. He blocks people. He catches them when they're napping, when they're dozing. He catches people when they're asleep.
Amen.
And then guess what he does? Brother Casey, he moves in.
Sure. Amen.
When the church is asleep, the devil moves in.
Sure he does.
The enemy causes confusion. And here in this passage, we see that he's caused confusion among the person. Let me tell you, God is not the author of confusion. Amen.
Amen.
The devil is. And these people who are supposed to be out there caring for the crop are now confused. I mean, they're out there and they say, well, Lord, we don't know what to do. We've got weeds out here. We've got weeds in here right now.
Right.
I mean, let me tell you, somebody's parking in the wrong spot out here. Brother Casey, somebody parked in my spot out here. We got a weed. We got to pull that weed up. Oh, in the bathroom, you know, somebody's taking the light bulbs out of the bathroom. We got a weed that's come in here and caused destruction. We got real-time problems in the church.
Blessing you.
Somebody sitting today in my seat where I always feel like I'm assigned. We got to pull that weed out.
Blessing you.
We got real-time problems, Sister Bobby. Somebody painted the nursery back there kind of a light white instead of a bright white. We're gonna pull that weed out. There's a weed. Pull it out. I mean, listen, the toilet's running. Can you hear it? We got a real-time problem. We need to cancel church. It's costing us too much money. Y'all hear that? Billy, we got a leak back here, man. Somebody went into the nursery and did this. Or somebody did this back here in a Sunday school class. Things are really bad. I've got the solution. We need to have a deacon's meeting. We need to get somebody. We've got to get this straightened out. Forget about going and visiting anybody this week. We got real-time problems here that are more important. Big deal items we got to take care of. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Amen.
This is how the enemy does it. I mean, I've been in meetings before where they couldn't make up their mind to buy when somebody died a vacuum cleaner or a boombox to put a in-memory sticker on of them. I've been in services before where they argued over what color of toilet paper to buy because it was going to stop up the septic tank. The enemy does it, and we end up being the obstacle. He plants these things in our minds. He gets ingrained. It's a mind game that gets there and it distracts us from what God has asked us to do. Invisible barriers come into our minds. We get distracted by everyday life-to-life applications. This is more important. Let me tell you something. Anything you put more important than God, I don't care what on God's green earth it is, it's an idol.
Amen.
It becomes a golden calf. People can even become a golden calf in your life. And what we've got in our churches right now is, we got to do something about this. Whoa! Ah! I mean, you know, we got to get this fixed, Nick. We got a weed out here. Let's get it pulled up. Let's pull it up now.
Bless you, Jesus.
A weed in the church. Let's get rid of it. You got the weed killer out? That's not of our kind. A weed. Let's spread it. Get rid of it. You got to watch those weeds. What are we going to do, Brother White? Now there's no danger in most of us going to somebody else's place and causing them a lot of trouble, is there? Well, we're too afraid of that. But guess what? Are we going to be afraid when somebody comes to us? Did you know the devil will send unclean spirits into this church?
Sure, amen.
So the workers here, they're divided. Everything stops. Now watch how they got into this shape to begin with. It's all in verse 25. What I really want you to take home today. But while men slept, his enemy came. Now somebody said, here's him. Well, I'm not a man. Go ahead and say, while men and women sleep.
Right.
Same way they got through the Great Wall of China. Guess what? They went to sleep on the job. Go look it up. Friends, we cannot go to sleep on the job. We must not sleep on the job when we've given orders by the commander in chief.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the one in Washington. I'm talking about God and His headquarters.
Amen.
Glorify God Almighty. Bless God Almighty. Given the grace and the blessings of God upon us and the hope of certainty of heaven that we do not go to sleep anymore on the job.
Amen.
Somebody say amen besides Sister Bobby. Sounds like some are already asleep.
Bless you, Jesus.
Now, somebody in here says, well, that's the job of the pastor. Listen, let me say this for the record. If anybody in here thinks that it's the job of the pastor to do everything that goes on in the church, to make every contact, to handle every situation, to do everything there is to be done, then we have a real problem.
Yes, we do.
As a matter of fact, we've got a major problem on our hands.
Amen.
First off, anybody that is asleep and you're dreaming such a delusional thought, and that's what it is, they don't understand what God's Word says. Let me tell you where I get my orders. It's in the Bible, in Timothy and Titus. It tells me what the role of a pastor is. Now, I'm not too good to go back here like I did this past week and use a plunger and get whatever I need to out of the toilet. I won't go into those details this morning. Because I thought, you know what? We got a real problem. Who did that? Where's that weed at? That's prayer. If the pastor does everything as our mentality, we have a real problem, because if that's the expectation, I can't handle it. I got to be done.
Right.
I'm just cutting to the chase.
It's the truth.
Listen, I heard a story where a man said that they had a funeral. He said what had happened is that this brother and sister were going through some hard times, getting along, and then all of a sudden they got into a real great argument. And the sister got mad and said to her brother, she said to her brother, I don't want you around it. I don't want to ever hear from you ever again. As a matter of fact, the next time, by the way, I see you, I hope it's at your funeral. Well, what happened was, in about 6 to 8 months, the man was killed. He said, well, there at the funeral, laid out the casket, and the sister uncontrollably came down to that casket. She began to talk to that dead brother down there at that casket. Brother, I'm sorry that I did this. I hate that I did this. I mean, will you please forgive me? I didn't mean to do this. I didn't mean to say, you know, I want you dead the next time I see you. Oh, forgive me, brother. Forgive me. Is what she did. They said that the woman reached in and started pulling the body out of the casket, pleading for forgiveness, wailing and crying. You know what the saddest part of that story is? Somebody who is asking somebody that's already dead to forgive them after they're already gone. My dear friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, that is the scene that many of us are going to have if we don't get busy witness to the people that God has placed in our lives.
Amen.
We're going to be just like at that funeral there. I mean, because once they die, let me tell you, it's over. Once your child dies and you've not witnessed to them, it's over. Once your neighbor dies, your friend at work, your brother, your sister, whoever, it's over. There's no going and pleading at the casket.
Amen.
I had somebody call me a while back and say, well, they didn't go to heaven, but can you pray for them? I can't pray for anybody if they're dead. Because it's over once they die.
Amen.
And by the way, it's going to happen. There's going to be a day, it may be today after this kind of message. I don't know, I'm going to drop dead. I know that. There's going to be a day when somebody out here in this community, maybe they're sick right now today and they're going to die, and guess what? We're sitting in here and we've not went to witness to them.
That's right.
Now, Pat, if you sit there this morning and say, well, Pastor Shane, are you just telling us this to put the pressure on you? Are you just trying today to put pressure on us? Well, let me tell you, yes, I am. I am. But I told you in the beginning of this message today, I'm here to represent lost people.
Right.
That's where my heart is. I'm burdened by this. Lostness. I'm not here to make you happy this morning. I'm here to aggravate you this morning. I'm here to aggravate you to get up from your good intentions and get out there and try to reach some of those lost people.
Right.
I've seen, and I'm cutting to the chase. The people that are listening, they need to hear this too, because they were not involved at all. At Vacation Bible School this year, we printed 800 less door knockers than we did the previous years. 800 less. And still had almost half of them sitting back here in a box. It made me so sick. I couldn't sleep at night thinking, who have we missed in the community? While people just went on like life was just such a roller coaster, thrills and frills and wonderfulness. Who did we not knock on their door? Because we were busy. Oh, I have this 4 or 5 days a week. I can't go out one day out of a quarter to help somebody. I don't have that kind of time. I mean, I get all those kind of excuses. Why do we need to get out there? Because they're your family.
Right.
They're your friends. They're your neighbors. And you're going to go to the funeral and you're going to remember this morning that it's too late. Now, some of you sit there and say, well, Pastor, I can't remember anything. That is good because we're not asking you to remember anything. That's not an excuse to pull. I can't remember anything. That's not an excuse. Neither can I, Mark. Let me just be honest. We have the resources available right here that we can give to every person in this room. A transfer guide. We even have an app for your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. You read the app. I mean, you go out and it's there in black and white. It takes about 30 seconds. You don't have to remember it. You can go out and share the good news of Jesus with somebody just like that. We have Bibles in the back of this church that spell out the Roman road. When was the last time you took a Bible and gave it to somebody? We have orders that have been given to wake up! Wake up! This isn't easy. It's not going to be easy.
Amen.
The enemy is against us. The greatest opportunity for our church is now, and now is the time. God called me to Parkway 7 years ago. Not to tickle ears, not to help people walk through that door right there Sunday after Sunday or week after week and cradle them and rock them and give them a pacifier and then give them a bottle and change their diaper and burp them on the way out. That is not what God called me to do. And I will not do it. I'm not a babysitter. And neither is anybody else. Friends, this world is in a mess. We are in a mess. The devil's at work. The churches are struggling. I'll be honest, in today's society, churches can't even get their people up and moving. Why? They're asleep.
Man.
I met with the deacons and the staff last Sunday night, and I shared and poured my heart out. It was a different type of meeting than I've ever had in the 7 years I've been here. We're having the same problem at this church. That's why I met with them. The sleepiness, the drowsiness. People have become dazzled and they've dozed off. And to be plain, I'm a preacher. But the reason most churches are in the shape is because the preachers are in the same shape too. Yes, I said that. They're not moving. I'm not doing you any justice in this church if I'm not moving.
Amen.
And you're not doing any justice for this church or this community if you're not moving.
That's right. Amen.
Too many people have been... I can't sit here and be idle. I will not. No pun intended. If people can't move, I'm going to have no choice but to move. Because I can't do it. I'm not going to do it.
Bless him, Lord.
God has put a burden for lostness on my heart.
Right.
And I'm going to pray God use that. I'm praying God use us as a church.
Yes.
The enemy is the cause of what we've... And we've got to wake up. And friend, I have prayed and prayed and prayed about this to the point that I'm beyond what most people even... I'm burdened beyond what people realize. I mean, this is the opportunity for us to wake up. It looks like to me that we're on a rough, slick slope. I agree. But I don't know about you. I am bracing for hard times. And here's why. Doom and gloom is everywhere you look.
Yes.
Everything you read, everything you watch, everything you see, everywhere you go. I mean, there's shootings everywhere, every place, all the time, every day. Our world is in rough shape and America is in rough shape. Everywhere you look. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is not about the Democrats and the Republicans that I'm talking about today.
Amen.
Neither one of them know enough to get us out of anything. I'll just say it like that. And let me be plain, no pun intended. I don't think the Democrats have a plan and I haven't heard much from the Republicans either.
That's right.
Who have a plan. I'm not even going to get into that. I don't know anybody that has a plan. My point is, I don't see much help coming from either direction. Now, I'm hoping, and I'm praying, and I'm voting, and I'm going to do the best that I can, and I'm not banking on that. Like I preached a while back and talked in discipleship training, we are in a spiritual warfare, my friends.
Yes.
This is a nation under God. We're about to be a nation totally gone under. Everybody ought to know that. Everybody but these goofballs that keep trying to make us nothing.
That's right.
Our nation, it needs prayer. Our nation needs repentance.
Yes.
Our nation needs a full, real, authentic revival.
Amen.
Amen.
It needs help like it's never needed it before. We need to, and I don't need to just keep saying it, we need to do it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, lost people need help today like
yes.
they've never needed it before. And if we don't do it now, I'm here to tell you, my friends, it's not going to get done.
Amen.
If you want to know what kind of condition I think we're in right here in the Parkway community in Cleveland, Tennessee, Benton, Tennessee, wherever, when it comes to reaching lost people, my reply to that question is the same condition as all of North America.
Right.
And they can call this the Bible Belt they want, but there's lost people all over this community.
Amen.
We're not witnessing like we used to. We're not winning folks to Christ like we used to. These baptistries are not continuing in churches. Yes, ours has been pretty good, but in churches, they're not churning with people taking a stand for Almighty God.
That's right.
Jesus is who we ought to stand for.
Amen.
You say, well, we're doing pretty good, Brother Shane. Yeah, but there's a lot of places that are not doing good in their churches. And if we don't wake up, guess what? We're going to be in the same condition they're in.
Yes.
The baptism. Can I tell you something? I told the church this. Sister Glenda may remember this. She's the only one here this morning. It was here 7 years ago when I came here. I said, if we go 365 days without a baptism or a salvation, I'm done. I can't do it. I still hold that deal. That means we're asleep. We're not doing what we're supposed
right.
to do. There are churches that reported no baptisms in 10 years. I mean, one person said, well, we don't even know if our baptistry works anymore. That is sad.
That's sad.
Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that, well, we don't want to grow anymore. We got plenty of people. Not here at another church, they said that. Think of all you can do more of. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you have more life and you have it more what?
Abundantly.
Abundantly. More abundantly. Finally in the story, the king came out and he looked around one more time. And then the candle went out. In the story, they said the doors closed and locked. And then nobody got out after that or got in. Friend, some of you are sitting in this auditorium this morning, perhaps for the first time, and you're thinking right now, there's some people watching right now, what kind of a nut pastor do they have? Well, let me just tell you for the record, number one, I am nuts. And I'll say it like this, I'm nuts for Jesus.
Amen.
That's why I'm like I am today.
That's right.
Now, some of y'all don't know this, but I've been on a steroid because of the doctor put me on it, so I've got some energy. Brother Gene, we can go on to about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. I'm so nuts about it and what God has called me and you to do that I want to wake up and I want us to wake up and tell all the people about Jesus.
Yes.
Last Sunday morning we had well over 100 people sitting here or in the building. And guess what? Sunday night we come in here, we take the youth to the back, praise be to God, they had more people than we had. We had 13 people sitting out here last Sunday. And I preach, don't compromise. I preach my heart out with 3 or 4 people, or if there's 50 people in here, 100, 200, 300, 400. I preach what God gives me. And you know, friend, we have compromised God's Word. How is that we've compromised the Word of God? We have compromised God's word because we're not obeying God's word.
Right.
And tonight, I'm going to share with you the vision and the mission and the purpose of Parkway in my annual State of the Church. And tonight, I pray people who care about the future of this church, don't go online and plan to tune in. It's not going to be on there. I pray people will come back and at least support and listen to what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Come and be a part of the service. We will not be broadcasting it tonight. We need our folks to be here. Listen, let me tell you right now, we have new nominations coming up tonight. We've got a church budget. People have worked and prayed for many hours. A faithful few for this. I'm thankful for what people have put into this, but this is serious.
Amen.
I mean, I get people call, Brother Shane, hey, how are you there? Why are we doing this? Well, were you not at the business meeting? Were you not at the annual state when we voted on this?
Right.
Oh, you left your bulletin in the seat. I'm hitting on that. Did you know that I counted 17 bulletins laying in here from last Sunday? I don't know what's going on tonight. Well, no wonder. There is a time we have to labor. And there's a time when the night cometh and no man can labor anymore.
That's right.
And this is our time as a church to do what is right. I mean, we to do what we need to do for the sake of these people out there and maybe even in here that are lost.
Right.
Not the people in my family or my family reunion. That's my job. That's my brother's job, my family's job. Not the people at my Christmas party. Why? Because that's my job. Listen, friend, but the people in your life, that is your job.
Amen.
God has placed people in everybody's life in here that I may not ever come into contact with.
Amen.
And He's given you a command.
Amen.
Now, I know I've been a little straightforward this morning, and if I've said anything out of context, I'm asking for forgiveness, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be forgiven asking for forgiveness for saying what God laid on my heart.
Amen. Amen.
With boldness and clarity.
Right.
I haven't slept this week, have I? At all. I can't sleep knowing that there's lost people that are dying and going to hell, and we're just sitting back. But I really feel as the pastor of this church and of this community, I need to also be here for the lost people that haven't come here yet. But listen, friend, on their behalf, we need to wake up before it's too late.
Amen.
It's going to be too late. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. No one's looking around. There's no disturbance. Father, today in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be amongst us in this place. Lord, I have preached this message to the best ability that I know how, relying on the Holy Spirit today. Lord, your word teaches me that I'm to sow and you're to grow. There may be people today, you're sitting in here, and perhaps you're not going to surrender anything. You're just going to keep on going day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, with an I, me, I mentality. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that your heart be changed. There may be someone here today that somehow, some way, through what God has given through His Word, that He has touched your heart. And perhaps you need to come and you need to respond. And perhaps you need to come to the altar today and you need to lay it down and to have intercessory prayer and pray on behalf of someone you know that is lost. You know, I believe God is doing a work in this place today. I believe that God is going to do a work in this community. I'm not giving up. But let's focus on what God wants done. Not what Pastor Shane wants, but what God wants. Friend, I'm going to go down to the altar this morning. I'm going to pray as I will continue to represent lost people that I know. Perhaps you'll do the same. Perhaps you'll surrender it all to Jesus today as the music plays. As the music continues to play, you can either pray where you're at. If God is leading you to the altar to pray, now's the time. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's standing. Nobody's singing. We're doing business with God at this time.